Will you open the door? The Time We Have, A Conversation Between Brothers is available now. In this tragic two-player role-playing game, you will take on the role of brothers in the zombie apocalypse and the final days before one of you turns. This card-powered game is played on opposite sides of a closed door as you draw cards, ask questions, slide cards under the door in order to tell the story of your final days together. The Time We Have is written by Elliot Davis, illustrated by Ripley Ash, and features guest writing and art from some of your favorite creators in the TTRPG industry. You can grab the Standard Edition or the Deluxe Edition, which features three exclusive door cards and a beautiful limited edition silver foil box right now at moreblueberries.shop.
So we just watched the Minecraft movie. And it was one of Dylan's favorite movies ever, seemingly.
I can't even accept that as a joke. I really can't even joke about that. It's one of the worst things I've ever seen happen to humanity.
Honestly, this is not a great cold open because originally we were going to watch Ice Cube's War of the Worlds.
Which is going to be bad, but in a fun way, I feel.
It's going to be fun and we're going to have a lot of fun watching it.
No, that really gave me clinical depression.
Yeah. Dylan was having full psychotic breaks at the Minecraft movie because we were going to watch Ice Cube's War of the Worlds and Vidicia came in and was like, oh, you're watching it without me? I want to see it. And he was leaving. So we were like, fine, we'll watch something else. After a bit of scrolling, I was like, Minecraft movie. And Dylan was like, sure, whatever. And we chucked it on.
Chucked it on.
That's a fucking gather dog shit
chucked
movie.
Chucked it on.
That's a dog
it's
shit
movie. It's not just a dog shit movie. It's a sign of the times in a bad way. We are not treating kids well. We are not treating children well. We are not treating media well. And we are not giving people good movies.
Yeah. Well, because the Minecraft movie has absolutely no idea who its demographic is.
No. It also has no idea what its story beats are,
no.
What its theme is, what's happening in it. Oh,
it is
my
a
God.
Series of moments.
It's a series of memes and moments barely strung together.
Yeah.
Everybody in it, except Jack Black, is trying their damnedest to make it make sense.
Jack Black just kind of sucks
Jack
in it.
Black just sucks. And then Jennifer Coolidge saves the day for about a cumulative 60 seconds by being actually funny.
But she is, every single time she was on screen, it was like we were watching a movie, like everyone kind of woke up and then locked in.
Yeah.
And then after the 10 seconds that she was on screen, and there was always at least one pretty good laugh in there, as soon as she was off, everyone deflated. And it was fun because it's like that thing of, like, it's the hope that kills you.
Yeah.
Like, everyone was, like, like, hardening themselves to this horrendous experience. And then,
oh my God.
It's so good.
Jennifer Coolidge being funny.
And then the whiplash of immediately going back to what is a series of interconnecting nothing.
It means nothing.
Interconnecting is just the wrong word.
Nothing. Nothing interconnected. Nothing had a through line. It was just a... It's just... The children deserve better. And it's like, oh yeah, the children liked it. Yeah, that's because that's all you give them.
Yeah.
That's all we give them anymore is piles of dog shit. And I'm just sick.
But
what?
What's another thing that begins with M, but you actually like? It's massive. What are we doing here, Dylan?
Hi, my name is Dylan, and I've played two Mass Effect games.
Hello, my name is Robin. I've played the Mass Effect franchise 100 million times. This is
Dorkspawn, where we play through choice-heavy video games and then discuss them chapter by chapter like a book club.
We are playing Mass Effect 3. We...
Best game of all time. Best game.
This
it's
week,
great.
We did what is a side mission, another side mission that's like kind of crazy that it's a side mission.
Absolutely.
Oh, God. It's the Asari Monastery.
Asari Monastery.
Mm-hmm. And then we did the opening of Geth Dreadnought. I didn't realize that the two missions was, it was purely an opening.
I also realized afterwards that I had already done that. And yeah, I don't even know when.
Oh, crazy.
It was, wow. I went looking for it and it was already grayed out.
Oh,
since before
huge.
I started
okay.
this. And I was
so
like,
you have Tally on the team? Oh, no, it might be after Geth Dreadnought we get Tally on the team.
Yeah.
Yeah. But talk to me about it. Talk about the mission.
So, Asari, wait, do you have Tally on your team?
Well, we meet her again in this game. We meet her again and we talk to her about stuff. And then she's like, okay, let's go kill this Geth Dreadnought. And you're like, okay. And then she was going to join the squad.
Yeah, but she hasn't joined your squad yet.
As far as I'm aware, no.
Okay. The Asari, we get a distress signal from an Asari monastery. And answering the signal, we go check the place out. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's been clearly attacked by Reapers. Do we meet her right away? Is it like right as we land pretty much?
It's not necessarily right away.
But it's pretty early.
As we're flying in, it is a monastery for the, Ardat.
Oh, right.
Or Kakashi?
I'm not going to remember.
It's who Monrinth was,
yeah.
Who is Samara's daughter.
Yeah.
It is a monastery where people who have that disease, instead of going out and like murdering a bunch of people by fucking them, they go to this monastery and they lock themselves away from the galaxy.
Yeah.
It is already been taken over. We like climb down a blacked out elevator and walk into this like giant like blacked out hallway.
Yeah. And this planet, gorgeous.
Oh, it's very pretty.
The view from this like kind of destroyed, like halfway destroyed monastery is so fucking pretty that I had to take a break after I saw it, where I was like, this game is so fucking beautiful. It's like got these like beautiful spires in the background and it's like, oh, it's against a night sky. It's just really crazy good.
Yeah, it's beautiful. We are like, through reading some reports as we're going through this like freshly attacked monastery, we find that the people here, they can't even see each other without a supervisor.
Right.
They can't go into each other's rooms. They are not allowed to talk to anyone off planet at all. They're not allowed to use the internet. They're not allowed to use anything. They are there. They are living an entirely solitary lifestyle. They are truly, truly locked away. And as we're walking through, we fight some Reapers. And then from below us,
That's how she shows up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Samara shows up.
Yeah.
Shooting some Reapers, which, by the way, the Reapers are not just, they're Asari Reapers, which are these horrifying
Banshees. Awful.
They are terrible. Mm-hmm. Very scary. Very good. Samara is there. Samara's two daughters, we learn, are there. There's one daughter that's like with Samara. And then she tells us that the other one, and I forget their names, which I'm sorry. Did you write them down?
I did. Fela? Fala, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Fala and another one.
One of them is like they haven't heard from. And is with a bomb. There's like a bomb in the center of
the Asari commandos plant a bomb in the center of this hall, and we go to activate it again,
right?
Because of the Reapers attacking everyone, and also everyone here are so powerful, and also they're all like addicted to this like death, this sex death thing. That if they get out, it's going to be pandemonium. So we have essentially come here to set off the bomb, kill all the Reapers that are here, and then...
and destroy this place,
yeah.
Essentially.
Samara says that her daughters are here. Which is fun because we know that Samara has, you know, she had a family life and she was very happy. Monrinth didn't want to come here. She was the one of them that got away. Samara actually also says that Monrinth is the most powerful of her kids in two.
Right.
And that she also, I don't think she says that all of her daughters are infected with this. She just says Monrinth is. But then in this, it's revealed that
she has two other daughters
who are both infected with this thing. So we go to find the daughters and activate the bomb at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We're fighting through these banshees. They are hell to fight.
So many.
They're really strong and they suck against specifically my class because if you get close to them, they insta-kill you. By just stabbing
through
the chest. Oh, I
never got close to them.
But my move where I teleport
right to
them. I ram into them and then they almost like stick their hand out as I'm charging and then grab me and immediately kill
me.
And it sucks. I had to restart this a few times and then be like, I need to change my strategy.
There's one scene where there's like six of them in one room like marching at you. I think that's like late in the adventure. Woof. Oh my god, they're really
sucks.
Terrifying.
It's bad. We're not sure how the Reapers found this place because no one really knows this. It's clearly this you're talking about because I had Liara because of Sari and mm-hmm. Jarvik because I just kind of wanted Jarvik there.
I Garrison Jarvik, I think.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Jarvik mentions, oh, well, they didn't fight back at all. They just
Yes, right.
And then Shepard's like, well, no one thought that, like, no one knows where this place is. I bet they thought they were safe from the war. And then Jarvik's like, well, that will show them for being arrogant. It's like, all right, buddy.
Yeah. He loves to say stuff like that.
He loves to say stuff like that. So we find the bomb. We find the Samara's other daughter. Samara's other daughter, is infected, is already indoctrinated, breaks out of it briefly to be like, you have to go. This whole place is, it's already done. It's too late.
Yeah.
You have to drag her other daughter away as she's screaming.
Very upsetting.
Yeah.
And we close the door and she self-sacrifices to activate the bomb and destroy like a bunch of these Reapers that are like coming at her and... like trying to make out with her, it looked like.
It's a cool scene.
Yeah.
And then this place destroyed. Samara goes, if you leave this monastery, the code says I have to kill you. So then puts a gun to her own head and says, I'm not gonna kill any more of my daughters. And you have a
and I was like, stop.
She's so code driven. That's her whole thing.
Calm down.
Love it. I love Samara. I think she's so fun because she just sticks to it like no matter what. That's kind of her whole.
I can't wait. I want to hear you say that in a court of law. I'm code driven. That's why I killed them.
I'm
going
to say in a cool sci-fi school sci-fi fantasy series. I think she's cool. I like the fact that like. Her whole character is that she, when we meet her, she's like when we meet her in two, her whole thing is, oh, hey, my code says that I'm not, like, I'm going to just clean through all of you and get to my target. But my code also says I can't, I can make a deal with someone for 24 hours. So I'll make a deal. You figure out all this. And then, and then that's the whole thing, how she starts. Then she swears herself to you and says, I will finish this mission. If you do stuff I don't like, I'll kill you when my code is done. Her whole thing is about following this code, and she follows it so to the letter. I mean, to the point where she is like, she says that the person who she was after she took the code has lived longer than her before it.
Right.
That's a big part of her life and story. And she's like, I am this person now. I just got to kill myself to stop it. I stopped her, obviously, as you did, evidently.
Yeah.
And then her daughter to be like, I don't want you to break your code, is like, I'm just going to stay in the ruins of this monastery and I'll survive. I'll figure out a way.
Yeah.
And then you don't break your code and I get to live. And you're like, fuck, I mean, I guess.
Yeah.
And then I got Samara to join the war effort.
Yeah. And then you meet her on the Citadel. And she's like, well, my daughter's alive. And then she says some nice things about Shepard being a part of this.
The only one that can do it. Love it. Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah.
I really like it.
It was cool.
It's a fun mission. I don't think it's as good as Jack's mission, which wasn't Jack's for you, but it was.
But that mission is crazy good.
It's one of the ones that's like, this is a side mission in Nay, in like the fact that it's
not. This can't be a side mission. It's
just very cool and integral to the plot. I just think it's so fun.
It is pretty fun.
I really love it. And then I did shit tons of. I just went to the Citadel. And I found every single
crew everybody.
In the Citadel. Now, one of the community's favorite scenes in the whole franchise is one that both of us did. So we'll go to that later.
Okay.
When I was on the Normandy, I looked for Garrus. And then I found Garrus teaching Jovik about galaxy history.
I saw that too. I saw it's I saw Jovik and teaching who?
Garrus.
Because I walked in on Jovik, Kaden, and some other unnamed crewman having a discussion about history and like galaxy history in both our timelines, and Jovik, and was also like justifying like all of his murder.
Yeah.
And was like, you have to to live.
Yeah. But I guess because I don't have Kaiden or Ashley on my team, so they were replaced with Garrus.
That makes sense.
So
that makes sense.
Was doing it to him.
Okay.
It's cool though. It's cool. I because it's a thing that I was like looking for Garrus, and I was like, where the fuck is Garrus? And I was just wandering around the ship, and then I found the three of them talking in a communal area, and I was like, this
cute.
Is fucking sick. Actually,
very
this
cute.
Is so cool. Really loved that. I then flew to Purgatory. I met Jack at Purgatory because she asked to hang out at the bar.
Nice.
She was doing work. She was doing work for the university and the Alliance, and she was like, I got a tiny bit of shore leave, and even when I'm doing shore leave I find myself like working to look after these kids, and I'm like, man, she's gone so far to
like,
actually
huge.
Caring about people. And then Shepard was like, all right, enough work, we're on shore leave, let's go dance. And then Jack makes fun of how you factor a bad dancer. And then you go and you dance, and I danced with Jack, and it kind of faded out as the pair of us were dancing together. And I was like, I know that Shiv has a crush on Jack.
Oh, yeah.
I know that Shiv has a crush on Jack. And if Jack was who she is canonically, which is Pan, they would be dating, absolutely.
They absolutely would be.
And it was really cute. I loved it. I accidentally talked to Arya, who we're going to be doing.
Oh, I talked to Arya, too.
Because she's just hanging out at Purgatory.
She's just at Purgatory, yeah. and I didn't realize, but I spoke to her, and she's like trying to make you get somebody out of jail.
She's trying to unite the three major gangs from Omega.
Right.
Also, she's on the Citadel from Omega because the Elusive Man and Cerberus chased her off of Omega. So then she fled to the Citadel, and she's like, well, I've lost all control of the three major gangs that were there, which is the Blue Suns, the Eclipse, and then the Blood Pact. And you have to, and then what you have to do, which will be in this DLC, is you have to unite all of the three major gangs again to fight for you.
Crazy.
Which is cool, which is really cool.
Crazy concept.
Yeah, really love it.
I spoke to, there's a Turian around that is like, that you're like, hey, could we trade, we heard you're low on medical supplies. Can we trade you some medical supplies for some manpower?
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, no, we can't spare any men for you. And I didn't have enough Paragon, I guess, to convince him.
Wow.
So no, I gave him the medical supplies for free. And then the next time I saw Dr. Chakwas, she was like, so you're just like this all the time, huh? I was like,
oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I lucked out. I did have enough Paragon.
You did.
Also, I forgot I did this.
What?
Spoke to Liara. I found Liara in the Presidium Commons.
Yeah.
We were talking, and she was like, I love this area of the Citadel. It reminds me of me growing up, and it reminds me of my
mom. Yes. I had this conversation,
and she was like, oh, I kept getting in trouble for, like, looking for Prothean ruins when I was a kid and just digging up things, and I got a lot of trouble with my mom, and then my mom the next day bought me, like, my first history book, and that's how I got started with this. And then we were talking, and then she said something as a brooch of dating.
Right, romance, yeah.
And then Shiv was like, I just don't have time.
Why?
And we broke it off. We officially broke it off. I think she was like, I just really appreciate you being a friend. And I had the option to be like, we're more than friends, or I like you as a friend as well. And then I said, I'm glad that we are friends. And then both of them kind of very sadly, like, had a moment where they nodded at each other. And then Shepard was like, I'm going to get back to it. And then gets back up and then leaves. Yeah. I think Shiv is just she's too focused now. Morden has died. I think she's like, when I said that she's like going more ruthless and regressing, I think that's what she's
doing.
That's
what this means.
She is like, oh, I can't have anyone. Like, it's going to hurt too much when
all these people die.
When people start dying and I'm not able to protect them, it's going to hurt too much. And she is like cutting herself off from all these like connections that she's made.
Yeah.
And putting the galaxy ahead, which is something that she didn't do in Mass Effect 1. She was always about putting, like, fuck everyone else. It's me and my team.
Yeah.
And then now she's like, no, I have to put the galaxy first. And I don't think I can focus as hard if you're here.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm so sad for her.
Yeah. So it broke up.
Because she's been wanting it for...
Oh, she's been wanting it. We have slept together in this game.
Yeah.
And then we broke it off afterwards.
Kick her in the teeth, why don't you?
I know, for real.
Jesus.
She said friend first. To be fair, I think Liara and Shiv, they both understand kind of
what this is.
Well, it's like, I think both of them love each other, but both of them need their work more. Like, both of them need to do this, and they know that.
Yeah.
It's like, I think it's one of the things where both of them are like, well, I love you, but we need to do more.
She's the whole ass shadow broker, so, you know.
She's the fucking shadow broker. She's the shadow broker. You are the vanguard of the apocalypse. Like,
yeah.
You know, you have
it's
to.
It's a lot.
It's dark.
Well, I had a scene with Garrus.
So this is everyone's favorite scene, is the scene with Garrus.
Really?
It's everyone's favorite because it is so stupid charming.
It's so charming.
Yeah.
He asks me to meet him on the Citadel to take a load off. We chat about, and he finally brings up, he's like, do you want this to be real? And so I straight up interrupt him to tell him I love him. It's just like, yeah, of course, dummy, I'm in love with you. And then he rambles on again about, like, wow, I haven't watched enough tutorials to learn how to do this. Like, I don't know how to.
Oh, my God. He loves his tutorial.
He loves to watch our tutorial on how to be a boyfriend. And one day he'll get it. And he's just rambling. And I'm just like, and I interrupt him and I kiss him and I tell him, you don't need to watch any more tutorials. I've got it.
Oh, I love it.
I'll handle it.
Fuck, that's good.
Don't worry about it, kitten.
Daddy's got it.
Daddy's got it. Daddy Shepherd's got it.
Was
Hey, you! You don't look familiar. First time in this part of the city? I see that sneer on your face. Better wipe it off before I do it for you. This is home. This is the best place you could ever want to be. Whether or not this is where you meant to end up, you found yourself on a rather fortuitous street. You see that corner building down there? 3 floors up. Lamplight Investigative Services. Friends of mine, you ask. Loaded words you're throwing around this evening. Good people is what they are, though. Not a single one of them will admit to being nice. Something about duty, yada yada. A bunch of BS, if I do say so myself. Who am I? No need to worry your pretty little head about that. I'm sure my name will come up in time. But go. See for yourself, 3 floors up, gold-gilded sign. As for Mama, don't tell him I sent you. She'll know what to do.
All doors are just windows that we can't see through. You ever think about that?
We provide our patrons with anonymity.
Hello, this is Mama Amaretta speaking.
Lamplight Investigations, a Thirsty Sword Lesbian's noir mystery. Full season available now on QueerPG.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Dale.
Robin, I want to show off how strong and cool my original characters are, but I simply can't keep throwing my Hero Forge minis at people.
Well, have you heard that Hero Forge has just launched 2 new types of minifigures? One of them is a color acrylic keychain that's the same size as your Hero Forge standee.
Oh, so I could just like carry it around with me and not throw it at people? Oh, I'm looking right now at their website, and they also just launched 100% stainless steel minifigures, so I could totally feel like an old school dork when I'm playing my games.
Ah, and if you throw them, it'll have more impact.
Oh, I'm going to throw them everywhere.
Thank you, Hero Forge, for sponsoring this ad. We do not advocate throwing any minifigures.
No, not at all. None.
But we do advocate visiting HeroForge.com to start designing your custom miniature and dice today.
And check back often because new content is added every single week.
So the scene is he flies you up to the top of the Presidium because he's always wanted to go there.
Yeah.
And then is it that you're still shooting?
It happens after the romance scene. If it's a romance, it happens at the very end. He's like, well, now let's settle something.
Yeah, who's the best shot? Did you let him win?
No. Of course not.
I let him win.
Daddy's home. I have to teach you how and when to kiss me. I'm not
going to. Garrus, daddy's home.
Don't worry about it, kitten. And I said that twice. Once with my lips and once with a shotgun.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Did you fix all the broken Medi-Gel dispensers?
I didn't, but I did take a bunch of pictures for a documentary.
Oh, I did that too.
Yeah. You did that last week, right?
I did that 2 or 3 weeks ago, I think.
Sure.
Yeah.
I was pretty late to it. I didn't do the Medi-Gel dispensers. I did help the guy with the Medi-Gel supplies, and then he gave me troops. Yeah. I did a few Cerberus missions in this. I did the Cerberus scientists. I did the, like, just the ones that Hackett gives you, and it's just the multiplayer missions, basically. You fly on a planet, you shoot a bunch of guys.
Interesting.
You hack some things, and then you're out. I did loads of those this week.
Okay.
Which was pretty fun. I saw Jarvik. He gives, you're speaking to him and he gives a pretty cool speech.
Great speech. To not just you, but he's talking to other people
as well. A consistently growing crowd because people are like, oh my God, are you a Prothean? I've heard about you.
Then he starts giving a speech and I had a Paragon react to be like, can you fucking stop? Because he starts talking about how, like, they're like, well, you guys lost. Like, how are we going to survive if you couldn't survive? Mm. And he starts going into, like, many people are going to die. It's going to be awful. It's going to be terrible. Yeah. And I'm like, hey.
Let me chill, buddy.
Maybe just rework it. And then he tries again and he gives a great speech.
Yeah.
About how we're alive now and that's worth something.
Yeah. He's a cool guy.
Yeah.
He's a cool guy. He's one of the most important characters in this freaking show.
Yeah.
I love it deeply. Found Miranda.
I was looking for her fucking everywhere. I can't find her.
If you go to the Spectre records...
I know where that's where it says she is, but I'm not finding her.
But then you have to... So, okay, so in the Spectre thing, there are these three terminals. One is weapon buy. One is, like, your special requisitions. And then the third one is a... You get hologram of people, and she turns up.
That's what it is. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. I was looking for her fucking everywhere.
It's kind of the same thing that is just her storyline. She is looking for her sister. And
right, it's a continuation of that. Yeah.
The elusive man has found her, is what it is. And now she's like, I'm getting like more and more people every day turning up at my door.
Yeah.
And she's like, and I know that he's just now going after my sister and thinks that her dad is working for the elusive man now.
Jesus.
It's tough. It's a tough one. Also, just very briefly going back, Garrus says what is another one of the most beloved lines in this, which is, I'm Garrus Vakarian and this is my favorite spot on the Citadel. But he only says that if you let him win. If you let him win, you miss the shot, and he goes, "Ha ha! I'm Garrus Vakarian, and this is my favorite spot on the Citadel."
That's cute.
It's fucking cute.
That's cute as fuck.
Fucking love Garrus so much.
Oh, I love
God,
him.
He's just a perfect guy. So then, what you've already done, but I hadn't, and I'd done this week,
okay,
is I go to the Quarians.
Yeah.
You go all the way to the Far Reaches, or whatever it's called. Whatever. You go onto one of their fleet ships, and you're talking to them. They say that they have started a full-scale war with the Geth to take back the homeworld.
Yeah.
And almost every single one of Shepard's options is, are you a fucking idiot?
Yeah. Are you
Why
stupid?
Now? Why did you do this now? This is so fucking stupid, ridiculous. You stupid, stupid idiots. There is four members of the council there, of the Quarian Council. Two of them are pro, two of them are anti, going to war. However, they say, if you want our people, there is a Geth dreadnought that is... Oh, also, a lot of the Geth are back with the Reapers. A bunch of them have joined.
Yeah.
A lot of the Reaper Geth activity is from this one Geth dreadnought, which we need to take out.
Yeah.
If we take that out, then they'll be better at taking back their homeworld. Even if you disagree with it, you do need to take care of that. Because it'll also release control on a lot of Geth.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, I will do that. And I'm like, cool. Well, if you're to do this, then you should probably meet our new admiral. And then doors open and in walks Admiral Tally Vass Normandy.
Yeah.
This
is crazy. I have no memory of this and it is grayed out. Like I have done it.
No way.
I don't know. Like I don't know. I don't know how I could.
Oh my God, it's so crazy.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't remember any of this.
Oh, shit.
And it's fully grayed out.
I don't mean to spoil anything for you. Maybe you'll hear it next week.
I mean, the mission is there, I've done it.
The Dreadnought mission?
Yes, I have that.
It might just be like one that you did in a haze.
I might have. Sometimes I do play the game like really late at night and I kind of burn through it.
Yeah.
It could have been that.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the main story is Quarians have gone to war with the Geth. The Geth dreadnought is controlled by the Reapers and needs to go. Tally is the new admiral of the Quarian fleet.
Sick.
Or is a new admiral of the Quarian fleet. And then she joins your ship at the minute. Much like how Rex and Morden joined the ship, Tally is
right,
on the ship.
Not a member now. Of the crew, but...
Not a proper member of the crew, but is a member of the ship. Which is kind of how a lot of the, like...
Yeah.
Reliving characters comes back, which is a mechanic I think
is so great. Yeah.
It's
I like when that happens in Dragon Age too.
I was just about to say it's Cullen coming back. It's fucking oh my God. I mean it's Hawk and Hawk, it's Cullen.
Oh, I spoke to a man on the Citadel who has a Varric's voice actor I was like, whoa. I know you.
Whoa.
I fucking know you. He's some guy.
Oh. Was he Turian? He has a good Turian voice.
No. Human.
Oh. Yeah. He'd be a good Turian, though.
He would be a good Turian.
Varric's voice is good for Turians. Yeah. How? Okay. Wait. We've done a lot of Garrus's big stories now. Big, like, scenes.
Yeah.
Culminating with this one, which everyone loves, which is the shooting competition on top of the Citadel.
Beautiful.
I, at the second episode of us doing Mass Effect, said Garrus
is Varric. Oh, that
is
Varric.
Varric.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah, he's Mr. Mass Effect.
He's Mr. Mass Effect, and there's really no... Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
Because if he if I wasn't fucking him, he'd be my best friend.
Oh, yeah.
He'd be my best friend and most trusted confidant.
Yeah, yeah. And you can feel that they want the same emotions from Varric. From Garrus, whenever Garrus turns up, as whenever Varric turns up. It's like they mention a fucking dwarf and you're like, hey. My guy, dwarf fucking traitor. Or yeah. They're like, oh, we have a Turian... What a sniper.
Mercenary, yeah.
Yeah, and you're like, hey.
Yeah, no, he's the guy. He's everything.
Yeah, no, he's the best. Oh, that's good. I'm not going to ask you to pick a favorite because I actually...
A
favorite of the pair of them.
See, the thing is, I think Varric overall, excluding Veilguard, you can just blanket assume I always mean minus Veilguard. But minus Veilguard, Varric is a better... There's more, I think, like, to him as a character. I think, in general, with the exception of Mass Effect 3, which has been really good to us, you don't get a lot of time with the characters in 1 and 2. Yeah. You don't get as much time with them as you do in Dragon Age. So I feel like by the time I spent 2 games with Varric, I had spent so much time with him.
Do you know what's so interesting is I thought you spent more time with them coming into this. I think based on other games, you spend so much time with the companions, but then playing a Dragon Age, you're like, damn, you really don't like Dragon Age. You spend the most amount of time with your companions.
So much time with your companions. Yeah.
Again, I will always go to bat for it. Dragon Age 2 is the best example of this where.
Yeah.
Walking around, they're talking. Each of them have 3 different act-based stories and are consistently talking in the main campaign of, like,
yeah.
You know, what you're doing. So you just feel like, you know.
They feel like people.
Yeah.
So I think Varric does win in that way. The thing is that Varric, you can't date. And I think that specifically in Inquisition, he should be a dateable character.
Oh, yeah.
I think that after his storyline,
yeah,
because I think in 2, it's deeply important that he be your best friend.
Sure.
In Inquisition, you literally help him get over his toxic situationship. I think that from that moment on, there should be an unlocked romance. Because like that would be just such a beautiful story.
We can't talk about it. I want to ask you so many Mass Effect opinions. But we're not done yet.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
we
yeah.
We have so much time.
We're not ready.
But I made the horrific discovery that in our penultimate episode of this run, I wanted to do multiplayer.
Oh,
we can't do multiplayer because multiplayer doesn't exist in the Legendary Edition. We can still.
Yeah.
But it was going to be a multiplayer, you know, talk. And then I also wanted to be like, all right. I want to know rankings of characters. Like, I want, like, who is your favorite character in Mass Effect and all this stuff? But we haven't finished most of their storylines yet, so it's hard to...
Yeah, so we can't do it right now.
Yeah, really answer that question. But yeah.
But we'll do that.
But we'll do that.
We'll do that. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to see. I got to open up this next Geth quest and see if I just have fucking amnesia.
Well, it won't be for a little bit because next week we are doing the Omega DLC, which is all of
I did get a message. I know some people in chat were saying like they were worried we couldn't actually do it, but I got a message inviting me to Omega.
I mean, we both also triggered that.
Yeah, we triggered it.
So you can do it. And also, most of these, because... in Mass Effect 3, as much as I played the main base story of Mass Effect 3, because so much happens in it, I couldn't really remember like specific details. But I haven't done any of the DLC past Javik because that was day one.
Sure.
So I had to, I've been following a guide that has been like, you should play this and then this and then this and then this and then this. And the thing that was at saying like, oh, you should do this was the Omega DLC is before you really kickstart any of the Quarian fights.
Okay.
Which is now what we're doing. So
right.
I wanted to get Tali on the team. I didn't realize that you had to do the Dreadnought before that because I thought Tali would just join your team. But yeah, doing...
Exciting.
Yeah, we're doing the Omega DLC next, and then we'll be doing the Dreadnought, and then we're doing
Perfect.
Rannoch, which is big.
When do we do the Citadel DLC?
The Citadel DLC?
Shore Leave.
Yeah, which we have both accidentally...
started it, and then I reloaded a save, yeah.
So Priority Shore Leave is going to be one of the last... things we do.
But how am I gonna build my house, Robin? You're not giving me enough time to build my home.
We're gonna do Shore Leave, and then we're gonna have a week where we're supposed to be doing multiplayer, where you can do as much bugging Animal
Fair.
Crossing as possible.
And I will.
And then we're moving on to the finale. So you're gonna have 2 weeks to do as much stuff as you want.
Okay.
Because it's gonna be like, do everything. Oh, no. Yeah, sorry. There is a DLC called Leviathan, which is... The DLC, aside from the Citadel, these two DLCs, is Leviathan and the Shore Leave, is both in Act 3. We're triggering them in Act 3.
Okay.
Both of which are things that I have been excited about since I originally played the game. I heard they were coming out. I didn't have the money to buy them, so I just never did.
Yeah.
And then I was never replaying Mass Effect enough to play them. The Citadel is just a fluffy party. It's the dream. It's all I've fucking wanted. It is, you gather all of your crew and then you all just kind of hang out and have a party together. It's the only time, spoilers because it's not going to happen for you, it's the only time you can romance Javik, because you sleep together and then he says, this never happened. Don't ever talk about this again. It's very exciting.
You know what I would say? No. Telling fucking everybody. I
fucked the last Prothean.
I'm telling fucking everybody. I'm tweeting it. You must be crazy.
It's on the extranet within the hour.
You know I have an influencer on this ship.
You are also an influencer. You're advertising in 90% of the shops on the Citadel.
Yeah.
Every shop is there's a Commander Shepard VI.
Oh, I know. I ran into that.
I also did. I chastised the person who...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. It's a weird one. It's a cool storyline. I really like the VI stuff.
Yeah,
that was interesting in 2 when it was brought up, and I really like it now still being a problem. That's what I really like about 3 is that there are ghosts of storylines just constantly around that you can't really interact with but it's like you don't really care about interacting with them, but it's also like there's bigger things to do. Like, hey, you know how people just kind of have you specifically in their house? There's just no time to deal with it. It's just like a weird thing in the universe that's like you have no control over.
Yeah.
In trying to save the galaxy, Shepard just no longer has a voice anymore. She just has to just go along and just be like, yep, that's fine.
Sure.
It's great.
I caught some Batarian messing with our computers on the Citadel.
Oh.
And he ambushed me and put a gun to my head in the middle of the refugee camp. And I said, no.
Are you a fucking idiot?
I said no, and I said, how about instead you fucking help us kill the people who are going to end the world in like 10 days? What if you did that instead?
If you did something fucking...
And I convinced him to do it, and then an officer was like, do you want me to arrest him? And I said, I want you to kill him, but... Here we are. I need people is the thing.
Which is...
I gotta have bodies.
And we're gonna be talking about this more next week. That is what the Omega DLC is Arya is like, oh yeah, I want to unite all the things. And because the Renegade option is like, yeah, I need as many bodies as I can get. Whereas the Paragon option in that conversation is like, oh, I don't want to work with criminals. And it's like, it just makes more sense for Shepard to be like, fuck it.
But why not?
Why not? We need people to throw at the Reapers.
Yeah.
And not in like a, oh, you're a heartless commander, but in a... they have giant laser guns.
They do. I did say I don't want to work with criminals, but somehow she was just like, yeah, well... Yeah, yeah. They do it anyway. I don't know. It's interesting, but obviously I haven't gone further down the road than that. I just got the
request. Oh, that's itself. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that you went with the Paragon. Oh, I but did. I guess that Ani is now pretty Paragon.
Ani has swung very Paragon.
Fun. That's cool. I like that.
Yeah, she's. These deaths are just unacceptable. it's unacceptable. We have to, and look, like Morden Solis died to redeem himself and be a good person. Mm. Or not Rex, you know, put his reputation on the line to take in and mentor an unknown.
Mm-hmm.
And Grunt, you know, almost sacrificed his life for Arachni to get free. Like all these people are doing all these things, that are just that's what's going to get us out of this.
Yeah, wow, that must be crazy going into this arc with this. I mean, you know, the Krogan and the Genophage, that is like centuries long, but. It's not necessarily a conflict, but the Quarian and the Geth, that is a conflict that's centuries old, and it's that must be tough for Ani going into this, being like, we need to just deal with the bigger problem.
There
is one group that are so stone-headed because their slaves rose up and gained sentience, and another group that. God,
I'll tell you what, we're not going to fucking deal with that. We're not dealing with that. I'm not hearing a lick of nonsense from them. I'm just not going to be doing it. You're going to get on board with me, or you're going to take a hike.
Oh, good. Because that's, unfortunately, that is the conflict.
Yeah. No, we're going to smooth that right over.
Love that. Good. Very excited for the next few weeks. Next few weeks of us chatting.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Any closing thoughts? We had a short episode today because we didn't really do... It wasn't a huge amount of...
It wasn't as much as we thought, but I did get a lot of personal time in with my pals, which was nice.
And you know what? It was... I
had a great
all
time.
All of those missions on the Citadel of just...
Are great.
...meeting people.
They're all good.
So good.
Yeah. Joker and Edie have advanced their relationship.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I love those two.
I love them.
Those two freaks.
Freaks. She's like, Joker has been smiling more since we've made our relationship official. And then she says, I mean, he's happy. And I was like, yeah.
Are you good? How do you feel about that?
Great job, babe.
I met up with Edie in Purgatory, and then there's a fun bit where she's talking about, I'm like, hey, so what's your body made of? And then she goes into this very high-tech thing. I'm like, and what's your hair about? And she's like, oh, I like it like this, so I've made it into like a... She's like, I can harden and loosen it whenever I want, but I harden this for defense at the back, and I also like how it looks. And it's like, you're so fucking good.
She's so cute. A defensive bob is what she has.
A cruel defensive bob.
Yeah.
Right. Well, next week, we are going to do the Omega DLC. Which is fun. We're going to meet back up with Arya. We're going to reunite the three major mercenary clans. And it's going to be a lot of versus Cerberus/the Elusive Man because...
Good. I hope we kill him. I hope we kill him in his dick. I do.
We kill him.
He's so annoying.
When I was speaking to Miranda, she brings up, you're like... she was like, oh, I heard that Cerberus attacked the Citadel. And you're like, yeah, with this guy called Kyle Lang. And she's like, he's still alive? Jesus, that slippery bastard. Oh,
that's fun. I'm so excited that I know where she is now.
I like her so much. Yeah. I love Miranda.
Yeah, she's interesting. Great.
Yeah, I know. I like her so much.
Yeah.
However, I have a closing.
Oh, and I think we have the same one.
Yeah. Are we
saying it at the same time?
Okay, wait, no. Are we doing it unchanged or are we changing one specific word?
We're not changing anything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah.
Sure. All right. Okay.
All right. And signing off.
I'm Garrus Vakarian.
And this is my favorite spot on the Citadel.
Yeah, baby.
Because it sounds like a radio sign off.
It does, yeah.
I'm Garrus Vakarian, and this is my favorite spot on the Citadel.
Love it. Perfect.